子。
في وقت يعني اقترف ولا؟
نعم.
في وقت يعني الساعة من لهم منه ولا؟
ساعتين.
ما شاء الله. هذه هربون. ما في.
This one? This one, okay.
صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره الذي حيى الأسباب لهذا اللقاء، والذي نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعله لقاء مباركا ونافعا للمتكلم والمستمع، إنه جواد كريم. وبعد شكر الله أشكر الإخوة الذين ساهموا بذلوا الجهد من أجل إقامة هذا اللقاء، رجاء منهم في أن يكسب الله به النفع، فنسأل الله أن يجزيهم خير الجزاء وأن يجعلنا وإياهم وإياكم مباركين حيثما كنا. هذه الكلمة التي أرجو إن شاء الله أن تكون مختصرة مع الفائدة، سيكون موضوع الحديث فيها عن الاستقامة، سيكون موضوع الحديث فيها عن الاستقامة، وذلك من خلال بعض الآيات والأحاديث الواردة في شأنها.
حفظ الله تعالى. Started by greeting you with the greeting of Islam, as you understood, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invoked peace and blessings upon His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that he praises Allah and he thanks Him and for making easy for us the way to have this meeting, this gathering that we're having. He praised Allah for making easy for this gathering, and he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering one which is blessed, and he asked Allah to make it beneficial, both for the one who is speaking and for those who are listening. He then extended thanks to everyone who helped organize this gathering, and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them blessed wherever they may be. He then said that the topic of this speech is going to be al-istiqama, staying firm upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's going to mention some of the verses from the Quran and the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that speak about this topic.
أولا، الاستقامة ضد الاعوجاج. الاستقامة ضد الاعوجاج، فنقول هذا طريق مستقيم وهذا طريق معوج مائل منحرف. وأما الاستقامة في الشرع فمعناها لزوم شرع الله تبارك وتعالى بفعل أوامره واجتناب نواهيه. الاستقامة في الشرع لزوم شرع الله تبارك وتعالى، وذلك بفعل أوامر الله واجتناب نواهيه. قد يكون في المسلم غلو ولا تفريط، فيلزم شرع الله، يفعل أوامر الله، يجتنب نواهيه، ويحذر من الغلو ومن التفريط. فإذا غلا في دين الله عز وجل أو فرط فيه كان معوجا وليس بمستقيم. والدليل على أن هذا هو الاستقامة قول الله تعالى: فاستقم كما أمرت. فاستقم كما أمرت، والذي أمرنا به هو أن نفعل ما أمرنا الله به وأن نجتنب ما نهانا الله عز وجل عنه. نعم.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, firstly, that istiqama, the topic of speech, istiqama, or staying firm upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's religion, the definition of it is the opposite of an i'wajaj, being crooked and being not straight. So istiqama, being straight and firm upon the deen, is something being straight. It's said in the Arabic language that a road or a street is mustaqim, that it is straight if it doesn't have any bins in it. And the opposite of that is a road which has curves and swerves in it. And this is the opposite of being a mustaqim. This is a linguistic definition of the term istiqamah. Then when we talk about the, in the religious sense, when we're talking about Islamically, in a specific Islamic sense, what does the term istiqamah mean? It means staying firm upon the religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by doing what He has commanded us to do and by abstaining from that which He has prohibited us from doing. And the Muslim needs to take this path of being straight upon the religion without going to either extreme, without being too lax, and without being an extremist, by taking a middle course. So, if anyone were to go too far, if anyone were to be extreme in the religion, they would not be called mustaqim. They would not have subscribed to this term, al-istiqama. And likewise, anyone who was too lax. And the proof for this from the Quran is Allah's statement, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Be firm upon the religion, have istiqamah as you have been commanded to do. And so, that which Allah has commanded us to do is to do what He has commanded and to abstain from that which He has prohibited us from doing.
وهذه الاستقامه حكمها الوجوب، فيجب على كل مكلف أن يستقيم على شرع الله. والدليل على أن الاستقامة واجبة قول الله تعالى: فاستقم كما أمرت. فاستقم فعل أمر يأمر الله عز وجل نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يستقيم على شرع الله. والأمر إذا وجه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه موجه له وموجه لأمته. إذا أمر الله رسوله بأمر فإن هذا الأمر عام للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأمته، إلا إذا دل دليل آخر على أن هذا الخطاب أو هذا الأمر يختص بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دون غيره من أمته. ومن الأدلة أيضا قول الله عز وجل: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه. فاتبعوه، اتبعوا الصراط المستقيم. وإذا اتبعنا الصراط المستقيم صرنا مستقيمين. وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه، أيضا فعل أمر. هنا قال فاستقم كما أمر، هنا قال وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه. فإذا هذا فعل أمر، وفعل الأمر يقتضي الوجوب، يقتضي الوجوب. ومما يدل أيضا على أن هذه الاستقامة واجبة أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال: ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. فنهانا عن اتباع السبل الذي هو الاعوجاج والانحراف والميل، وإذا نهينا عن السبل المعوجة فإن ذلك يدل على الأمر بالاستقامة على الطريق المستقيم. هذه النقطة مرة أخرى فقول: لو سأل سائل ما حكم الاستقامة على شرع الله، فنقول إنها واجبة، والدليل قول الله تعالى: فاستقم كما أمرت، فعل أمر موجه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، والأمر له ولأمته. وفي تتمة الآية: ومن تاب معك، ومن تاب معك أيضا يجب عليه أن يستقيم. وقول الله تعالى: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه. إذن بما أن الله عز وجل أمرنا بالاستقامة على شرعه، نستفيد من هذا أن الاستقامة على شرعه ليس بالأمر الاختياري، إن شئنا نستقيم على شرع الله وإن شئنا نترك، لا، هذا أمر لا خيار فيه، بل هو واجب محتم على كل مسلم ومسلم.
Istiqama, the ruling of it is that it's wajib. This being upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is mandatory upon every Muslim. And it's mandatory upon every person who is mukallaf, every person who is grown of age and who has their mind, their sound of mind. It's mandatory upon them to have istiqama upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof from this, from the Quran, is that Allah says, as he mentioned, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. So, be firm upon the religion as you have been commanded. Okay, it's a commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. So, this is Allah commanding His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be mustaqeen, to be firm upon the religion. And whenever a commandment is given in the religion, given in the Quran, and when it's directed towards the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand from this that it's directed to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and towards all of his followers. So this is not something which is specific to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we are also commanded with this. And every order, every commandment which is given in the Quran, which is directed towards the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are also commanded with it, unless there is some other evidence, unless there is some separate evidence to prove that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was only meant to be commanded with this by himself. Okay, so any commandment given to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it also applies to us. Another proof that it's mandatory upon every Muslim to be mustaqeen, to be upon the straight path, and to be holding tight to the religion, is Allah's statement that وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا, and this is my path which is straight, فَاتَّبِعُوا, so follow it. Okay? This is my straight path, so follow it. And if we do this, if we implement this commandment, and we follow the straight path, then we become mustaqeen. And the verb tense which is used in the ayah, the verb tense is a fi'l amr, it's a commandment. In the Arabic language, it means that this type of a verb means that the person must do it. It's a commandment directed towards the person who is being addressed. And whenever this is used, whenever this type of verb in the Arabic language is used, it means that the ruling upon that thing is wujub, that it's wajib, it's mandatory upon the person to fulfill this command. A third proof of the fact that being mustaqim upon the religion, being straight upon, firm upon the religion, is something which is mandatory, is Allah's statement, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ السُّبُلِ, and do not follow those other paths
فتفرق بكم عن سبيلي. So that you come, so that you become divided away from his path. Do not follow those other paths, plural, so that you become divided away from his path, singular. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is what he has commanded you with. This is what he has advised you with, so that you may have taqwa, so that you may be righteous and pious. And if we have been prohibited from following those other paths which are crooked and they're not straight, this means that the order that we've been commanded with for having istiqamah, for being upon the straight path, is something that we must do. And this path has no curves and no deviations in it. If someone was to ask you, what's the proof that istiqamah, that's being straight upon and firm upon the religion, is something which is wajib, is mandatory upon you, what should your answer be? If someone poses this question, why should we, why must I be firm upon the religion? What should the proof be? Your answer should be, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, so, فَاسْتَقِمْ, be, have istiqamah, be straight upon the religion, just as you have been commanded, كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, as you have been commanded. And this commandment, which was directed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was directed towards him and towards all of his followers. So this means that we must do this. And at the end of the ayah, it says, وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. Okay? Not only is this commandment directed towards the Prophet ﷺ, but وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ, and those who have repented with you. So those who repent with the Prophet ﷺ, they've also been commanded with having istiqamah. Another answer to this, your second answer to the person who asked you, why is it wajib? Why is it mandatory to have istiqamah upon the religion? Should be Allah's statement, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا, and that this is my path. Allah says, and that this is my path, which is straight. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, so follow it. And do not follow those other paths so that you become divided upon against my path. And having istiqamah, being straight and upright upon the religion, it is not something which is not a matter of choice. Someone cannot choose to do it or not choose to do it. You must. You must do this. And this is something which is mandatory upon every Muslim and every Muslimah, every male and every woman follower of the religion of Islam.
تعريف الاستقامة وحكم الاستقامة وشيء من أدلة وجوب أن يستقيم العبد على أمر الله عز وجل وعلى شرعه. هذه الاستقامة لابد أن تكون استقامة في التوحيد, في أمر العقيدة, استقامة في العمل. لابد أن تكون هذه أركان الاستقامة, أن يكون العبد مستقيما في عقيدته, في إيمانه, وأن يكون مستقيما في عمله. فلو استقام في عقيدته لكنه ضال معوج في عمله, لم تكن استقامة كما شرع الله. ولو استقام في عمله ولكنه لم يستقم في إيمانه في عقيدته, لم تكن أيضا الاستقامة كما شرع الله. ويدلك على هذا المعنى الحديث الصحيح, حديث سفيان بن عبد الله, الرجل الذي جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال, يا رسول الله, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك, يعني اعطيني معلومة عن الإسلام, معلومة كاملة, معلومة شاملة, ما أحتاج بعدها أن أسأل غيرك في هذا الموضوع. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. آمنت بالله أولا قبل ذلك قوله قل, يعني قولا باللسان مع طاعة تصديق القلب، قول باللسان مع تصديق القلب. لأنه لو قال بلسانه فقط ولكن لا يوجد تصديق في قلبه لن ينتفع بهذا النطق عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالمنافقون الذين قال الله عز وجل فيهم إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار كانوا يؤمنون بألسنتهم، ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين. إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله، والله يعلم إنك لرسوله، والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون. فالنطق باللسان دون أن يكون نابع وصادر عن إيمان القلب، تصديق القلب، فإنه لا ينفع. فإذا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله، يعني قولا باللسان مع تصديق القلب والجنان. ثم استقم، أي ثم اعمل عملا صالحا موافقا لشرع الله تبارك وتعالى بفعل الأوامر إيمانا واحتسابا، وترك النواهي أيضا إيمانا واحتسابا. فهذه هي الاستقامة التي أمر الله بها، إيمان صحيح وعمل صالح، إيمان صحيح، عقيدة صحيحة، وعمل صالح موافق لما شرع الله عز وجل. إذا كانت الاستقامة مبنية على إيمان صحيح وعمل صالح فهذا يفيدنا ضرورة أن نتعلم أمر ديننا، يحتاج منا إلى أن نتعلم ونتفقه في دين الله تبارك وتعالى حتى نستطيع أن نصل بإذن الله وبتوفيقه إلى تصحيح عقيدتنا، فنؤمن بالله إيمانا صحيح، ونستطيع بعد فضل الله عز وجل بهذا العلم أن نعبد ربنا عز وجل على بصيرة، نفعل الأوامر اللي أمرنا الله بها، ونجتنب النواهي التي نهانا الله عنها. فإذا لم يكن عندنا علم ربما اعتقدنا عقائد باطلة ونحن نظن أننا على الحق، وربما نرتكب بدع ومحدثات تباعدنا من الله ونحن نظن أننا نعمل عمل صالح يقربنا من الله. هذا يذكرنا بالكلمة السلفية المأثورة، اتبعوا ولا تتبعوا فقد كفيتم. فديننا دين مبني على الاتباع، اسمع كلام الله، اسمع كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، افهمهم، افهمهما، افهم الكتاب، افهم السنة فهما صحيح، ثم اتبع واقتدي واعمل.
Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala then said, after giving a definition, both a linguistic definition of istiqama and its ruling, and coming to know some of the proofs of the ruling of istiqama, and why is it that the servant must be mustaqim, must be upright upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall mention some other points. What is it that we must be mustaqim upon? What is it that we must be upright upon? Firstly, we must be upright upon our faith, upon our creed, upon our aqidah and our iman and our tawheed. This is the first and foremost thing that we must be upright upon and have istiqamah upon. The second thing that we must have istiqamah upon is our deeds. So both our beliefs
both our beliefs and our deeds, we must have istiqamah upon these things. If a servant were to have istiqamah in his creed, in his faith, however, his actions were gone astray, and his actions were not in accordance with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this creed wouldn't be of benefit to him. Likewise, if a person's actions were upright, his actions were good, but his creed was corrupt, these actions wouldn't be of any benefit to him. The greatest proof of this is the hadith of Sufyan ibn Abdullah. He came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, he asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, tell me something about Islam that I won't have to ask anybody about it after I ask you. He said, I want to know something about Islam that after you tell me, it's going to be comprehensive. I won't have to ask anyone else about this thing. So once you give me the answer to this question, I will have completely understood this thing about Islam. The response of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, say, I have believed, then have istiqamah. Say, I have believed, then have istiqamah. So these two things, the things we just talked about, to have the creed and to have the actions. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, he commanded him to say this thing, we understand that it's mandatory to have, we believe in something, that we believe in the truth, both with our tongues and with our hearts. It's not enough to pronounce something on your tongue without actually believing in it. Something which is just pronounced on the tongue, which is not present in the heart, is of no benefit. And this is something that the hypocrites do. Okay? So this is something which is not beneficial at all. The hypocrites do this. The hypocrites, of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are in the lowest rank of the hellfire. The hypocrites, they're in the very lowest part of the hellfire. And they do this. They say that we believe with their tongues. So just saying with your tongue without actually having the belief in your heart is of no benefit. And Allah says in another place in the Quran that there are some people that they say, we believe. Some people that say that we believe in Allah and in the last day, but they don't actually believe. Also says another in Surah Al-Munafiqun, that the munafiqun, that the hypocrites, when they come to you, they say that we testify that you are the Messenger of Allah. And Allah knows that you are His Messenger, and Allah knows that they are liars. So they say this with their tongues, but they don't have it in their hearts. So pronouncing something, pronouncing it with the tongue without it being in the heart, is of no benefit whatsoever. This is the first part of the hadith, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, I have believed. So this belief is something which has to be on the tongue as well as in the heart. The second part of the hadith was, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمْ. Then, after you have said this, then have istiqamah. Then be upright. And this commandment to be upright means doing righteous deeds which are in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Having belief in what we are doing, and expecting the reward for that. Allah commanded us to have true iman, to have true belief, and to have true aqidah. And He also commanded us to have righteous deeds which are in accordance with His religion and what He has legislated. Our istiqamah, if a slave's istiqamah, their uprightness upon the religion, is built upon true faith and righteous deeds, this will compel them to learn the religion. If we know, if we have true faith and we have righteous deeds, this faith and these deeds will force us, they will compel us to do what? To learn our religion. To get a deeper understanding of the religion so that we can have a deeper faith and so that we can worship our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala upon clarity. So that we can do what He has commanded us to do and abstain from what He has prohibited us from doing. On the other hand, if we did something other than this, if we had an aqidah, which is false, if we had beliefs, which were false, we might commit innovations in the religion. And we might commit sins and things which are against the religion in the name of the religion. We might do these things thinking that these are acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're actually the exact opposite. Okay? So if we have true faith, we will do deeds which get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have false faith, we will do these acts thinking that they are acts of worship when in fact they are not. There is a statement, which is a famous statement of our pious predecessors, which says, follow and do not innovate because you have been sufficed. Okay, the religion which has been given to you, just take it as it is. And don't make up anything new. The religion that you've been given, it's sufficient for you. So we must understand the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must understand the book, the Quran and the Sunnah, and have both faith and deeds in these.
In istiqama, المأمور بها من الاستقامة المأمور بها أن نعبد الله ولا نشرك به شيئا. ولا شك أن هذا هو أعظم ما أمر الله به، أن نعبد الله ولا نشرك به شيئا في العبادة. من الاستقامة أن نؤمن بأسماء الله وصفاته التي وردت في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أمرنا الله عز وجل، نؤمن بها على حقيقتها دون أن نشبه الله بشيء من خلقه سبحانه وتعالى. من الاستقامة أن نتبع ولا نبتدع، أن نتبع ولا نبتدع في دين الله، لا بدعة اعتقادية في القلب، لا بدعة عملية بالجوارح، بل نكون متبعين في كل شؤوننا فيما يتعلق بديننا وعبادتنا لربنا تبارك وتعالى. من الاستقامة أن نلتزم ما أمر الله به وأمر به رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يتعلق بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، وذلك بأن نؤمن به وأن نطيعه وأن نصدقه عليه الصلاة والسلام وأن نحبه محبة أكثر من محبتنا لأنفسنا. وعلامة هذه المحبة في الصدق في اتباعه واختفاء أثره عليه من ربي أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. من الاستقامة أن نحب أصحاب نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن نوقرهم وأن نجلهم وأن نترضى عنهم، ذلك نحب أزواجه وأهل بيته جميعا دون مجاوزة للحد، دون أن نغلو في أحد منهم. الاستقامة أن نؤمن بقضاء الله وقدره، وأن نعلم مستيقنين أن ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشأ لم يكن. من الاستقامة أن نؤمن بالبعث والنشور بعد الموت وبالجنة والنار وبكل ما أخبر الله عز وجل به فيما يتعلق بأمر الآخرة. الاستقامة أن نحافظ على الصلوات الخمس التي هي أعظم أركان الإسلام بعد الشهادتين، رجال يؤدونها جماعة في المساجد في بيوت الله، والنساء يؤدينها في بيوتهن، ولو صلتها المرأة في الجماعة مع في المساجد فلا حرج، ولكن بيتها خير لها. الاستقامة يقوم الزوج بحقوق زوجته، الأمر بالمعروف ونهيها عن المنكر وتعليمها دين الله عز وجل، نفق عليها بالمعروف وعاشرتها بالمعروف. إذا كان له أكثر من زوجة أن يتقي الله ويعدل بينهما، الاستقامة أن يحسن تربية أولاده ذكورا وإناثا، تعليمهم وتلقينهم التوحيد، تعليمهم الطهارة، وتعليمهم الصلاة. إذا بلغوا 7 سنوات يربيهم عليها ويعودهم عليها، يجنبهم رفاق السوء الذين يفسدون عليهم أخلاقهم. الاستقامة حسن الجوار، أن يحسن إليه بالسلام وبالزيارة بالهدية بإطعامه الطعام بكشف الأذى عنه. الاستقامة أن يجتنب العبد ما نهاه الله عز وجل عنه، أكثر من إطلاق البصر فيما حرم الله عليه، أحذر من استعمال لسانه ما حرم الله عز وجل عليه من كذب وغيبة ونميمة سخرية، كل قول باطل. أن يبتعد عن المكاسب المحرمة بالأكل الربا، أكل مال اليتيم، أخذ الرشوة، كل مال مكتسب بغير طريق شرعي. أن يحفظ فرجه إلا عن زوجه أو ما ملكت يمينه إن وجد ملك اليمين، أن يحفظ رجله ويده، يمشي بها إلى حرام أو يعمل بها شيئا حرمه الله، هذا كله داخل في الاستقامة التي أمرنا الله بها وأمرنا بها رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Part of having istiqama, that istiqama which Allah has commanded us with, is that we worship Allah alone and that we don't associate any partners with Him. And there is no doubt that this is the greatest thing that Allah has commanded with. Another part of istiqama is that we believe in Allah's names and attributes, those which are present in the Quran and the Sunnah, that we believe in the reality of them, and that we don't liken Allah to His creation. But istiqama is following the religion and not innovating in the religion.
not innovating any beliefs or any acts of worship. Another part of istiqamah is that we stay firm upon that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have commanded with. Part of that which deals with the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having istiqamah, deals with how we follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are several things that we have to do in order to be true followers of him. Firstly, we have to believe in him. We have to obey him. We have to declare as true everything that he has informed us of. And we have to love him more than we love our own selves. We have to follow his footsteps and follow his paths and his fine example that he set for us. Another part of istiqamah is loving the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, having respect for them. Asking Allah to be pleased with them. And as well as the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family members, loving them, loving his companions, his wives, and his family members, without going to any extremes in doing so. Another part of istiqamah is believing in Allah's divine decree that whatever happens, that Allah knew about this and decreed it and allowed it. That whatever Allah, and we should have certainty, and that whatever Allah has allowed to happen will take place. And whatever Allah has not allowed to happen will never take place. Another part of istiqamah is believing in the resurrection. And believing in Jannah, and now paradise and hellfire, and everything that Allah has informed about dealing with the afterlife. Another part of istiqamah is preserving our daily prayers, those five daily prayers, which are the greatest pillar of Islam after the Shahada. We should preserve those prayers inside the masjid, with the congregation, the jama'ah, at the prescribed times. And the woman, she should preserve those prayers at their five times daily in her home. And there's no problem with a woman praying in congregation in the masjid. However, for a woman to pray in her home is better for her. Another part of istiqamah is that each husband gives his wife her rights. That he commands her with what is good and forbids her from doing the evil. And that he teaches her her religion. And that he spins upon her according to what is known and customary in their society. What is known and customary in the society, part of having istiqamah is spending upon the wife according to what's known in that society. And also treating her with what's considered good in that society. If a man happens to have more than one wife, he must fear Allah and have adl, have justice between them, not favor one over the other. Another part of istiqamah is raising our children in a good way, both the boys and the girls, by teaching them tawheed, the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by teaching them tahara, cleanliness and ritual purity in Islam, by teaching them the salat, and once they turn 7 years old, by commanding them to perform the salat. So we should get them in the habits of performing the salat, and we should prevent them from having bad company and bad friends. Because those bad company and those bad friends, they will corrupt their character and corrupt their religion. A part of istiqamah is being a good neighbor by treating the neighbors well, by extending salam to the neighbors, by visiting them, by giving them gifts, by feeding them, and by not harming them in any way. Another part of istiqamah, refraining from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. A Muslim should beware of looking at those things which he has been prohibited from looking at. The Muslim should beware of using his tongue for something which Allah has prohibited, such as lying, such as backbiting, such as gossiping, such as making fun of others, and everything which is a false statement. The Muslim should beware of using these statements with his tongue. Another part of istiqamah is having lawful and halal earnings, the money that we make. We should stay away from any earnings which are not lawful, any earnings which are prohibited, such as riba, usury, such as eating the wealth of the orphans, such as taking bribes, and any type of earnings which are made in a way which is prohibited in the religion. We should stay far away from those. Another part of having istiqamah is preserving one's chastity and preserving their private parts, except upon their wine. A Muslim should guard his chastity and not fall into his private parts. Should be guarded except with his wife or the right hand possession, if there happens to be any right hand possession. And a Muslim should also guard his legs from walking anywhere which is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for using his hands to do anything which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, all of these things are part of the understanding of istiqamah, the being firm upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded us.
ننتقل بعد ذلك إلى فقرة أخرى وهي الأسباب المعينة على الاستقامة. ما هي الأسباب التي يستعين بها العبد على تحقيق الاستقامة؟ من تلك الأسباب صدق الدعاء إلى الله عز وجل، صدق الدعاء الله والابتهال إليه، أن يجعلك الله عز وجل عبدا صالحا مستقيما. والله عز وجل قد علمنا وأمرنا أن ندعوه قائلين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. أمرنا الله أن نقرأ هذا الدعاء في كل صلواتنا. ولعلكم تعرفون الحديث الذي يقول فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب، لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. فالذي لا يقرأ الفاتحة في صلاته فإن صلاته باطلة. وفي هذه السورة الكريمة يقول الله تعالى معلما عباده أن يدعو قائلين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. ادعو ربك في سجودك، في التشهد الأخير قبل السلام بعد أن تنتهي من التشهد، بين الأذان والإقامة، في الثلث الأخير من الليل. ادعو الله عز وجل أن يهديك وأن يثبتك وأن لا يغلك. نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يدعو ربه مقلب القلوب أن يثبت قلبه على طاعته. الأسباب علم العلم الشرعي بنية صادقة مع العمل به. تتعلم العلم الشرعي بنية صادقة ثم تتبع العلم العمل. كل ما تعلمت مسألة من دين الله عز وجل اعمل بها، فهذا من أسباب الثبات على الاستقامة. الله تعالى والذين اهتدوا زادهم هدى. اهتدوا يعني علموا وعملوا. ماذا يفعل الله بهم؟ زادهم هدى. من الأسباب أن تصاحب المستقيمين أن يكونوا هم أصحابك وهم أصدقائك وهم جلساؤك. وفي الحديث يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، يعني على طريقة صاحبه وصديقه وجليسه. المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف، يعني ليتحرى وليجتهد في ألا يصاحب إلا أصحاب الصلاح والهدى والاستقامة. فإن مشيت وصاحبت أهل السنة والجماعة كنت إن شاء الله منهم، وإن صاحبت أهل البدع والأهواء فإنك ربما تكون منهم مستقبلا ولو لم تكن منهم أنت الآن. فالسني إذا خالط أهل البدعة وصاحبهم وجالتهم فإنه مستقبلا سيتأثر والعياذ بالله، وينتكس ويتحول من السنة إلى البدعة، إلا أن يعصمه الله عز وجل. من الأسباب التي تعين بإذن الله عز وجل على الاستقامة تذكر اليوم الآخر، تذكر المعاد، تذكر الموت وما وراءه. فإذا تذكرت حقيقة مآلك ومصيرك يا ابن آدم، وأنك ستبعث بعد الموت وتوقف بين يدي الله يجازيك ويحاسبك على عملك، فإن هذا من أسباب الاستقامة. قال الله تعالى: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. دعوا الله بالثبات وعدم إزاغة القلوب. إيش بعدها؟ ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. استنبط بعض أهل العلم من هذا السياق دعاء الله بعدم الزيغ ثم ذكر يوم القيامة، ربطوا بين الدعاء وبين يوم القيامة، وهو أن تذكرك ليوم القيامة، تذكرك للآخرة، هذا مما يعينك بإذن الله عز وجل على الاستقامة. لكن إذا غفلت عن اليوم الآخر وغفلت عن الجزاء والحساب، هذا سيدعوك إلى التمادي، إلى التمادي في اتباع الهوى والعياذ بالله. وتذكر الآخرة مأمور به شرعا. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: زوروا القبور فإنها تذكركم الآخرة. طيب وليش نتذكر الآخرة؟ حتى نعمل لها العمل الصالح، حتى نستعد لها بالإيمان الصادق الصحيح. أقول عيدها ولا خلاص؟
ممكن نختصر. Next part of tonight's talk is mentioning some of the things which help us servants remain upon istiqama. First of those things which help the servant remain upon istiqama, being firm and upright upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion, is having sincere and true dua.
sincerely and truly invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being humble and begging Him. Begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you one of His righteous servants who have istiqamah. And Allah has ordered us to make dua for Him. As He said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. Allah has commanded us to make this, to read this dua in each and every salah. And perhaps all of you know the hadith, which says that there is no salah for whoever does not recite Fatihat al-Kitab. Whoever does not recite Surah al-Fatiha, there is no salah for him. Meaning that whoever makes a prayer and doesn't recite Surah al-Fatiha, this salah doesn't count. Allah taught us in this surah and in this ayah, He taught us to seek His guidance. So you should beg your Lord, and you should invoke your Lord while you're in sujood. And you should invoke Him while you're in the last tashahud of the salat. And you should invoke Him between the adhan and the iqamah. And you should invoke Him in the last third of the night. You should make dua to Him, asking Him that He keeps you firm upon the religion, and that He does not allow you to go astray. And the Prophet ﷺ would frequently invoke, saying, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى طَاعَتِكَ. Invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ. O you who change the hearts. The heart is something which changes. قَلْب, because it changes. So, O you who changes the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. Or make my heart firm upon your obedience. So this is the first thing that helps a servant remain mustaqim, remain upright upon the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, having sincere dua. Another thing that helps the servant have istiqamah upon the religion is by learning the religion and studying Islamic knowledge. Servant should learn first and then implement that knowledge. So every time that you learn something even small about the religion, you should follow it up by implementing it. And Allah has said about those who are guided, وَالَّذِينَ اَحْتَلَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. That those who follow the guidance, Allah increased them in guidance. So what happened? Those people who had huda, those people who had guidance, they learned it and then they implemented it. And what was the result of that? That Allah increased them in that guidance and increased them in that knowledge and that practice. Another one of the things that helps a servant remain upright and mustaqim upon the religion is by having good friends and companions, righteous friends and companions. And the Prophet ﷺ said that a person is upon the religion of his close friend. So be careful of who you take as a friend. So each person, he's following the same path as his friends follow. It means that we should work very hard and make a conscious effort and look at who are those people which we surround ourselves with. Who are those companions that we take? And we should make sure that our companions are the ones who, they are those who perform the salah. And that they are those who have guidance. On the other hand, servant was to take as his companions Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He would become one of them. And if a servant was to take as his companions those people of innovation and bid'ah, sooner or later, he would become one of them unless Allah willed. But the most likely result is that sooner or later in the future, if one has friends who are from the people of innovation, slowly but surely, he will become one of those people of innovation. Because a person naturally will be affected by those people who he sits with and who he is taking as companions. The thing which helps the servant remain upon istiqamah is remembering the last day. The fact that we will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering death and those things which come after death. If you remembered that path which you were going to take, what's going to happen to you after death? and that you're going to stand in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and you're going to be judged according to your deeds. This will help you remain firm and upright upon the religion. It's taught us in the Quran, saying, رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. O Allah, O our Lord, do not allow our hearts to go astray after you have guided us. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And give us righteous, rahmah, give us mercy from you. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. Indeed, you are the bestower. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. O our Lord, O Lord, verily you are going to gather the people for a day of which there is no doubt about. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. And you don't break your promises. So we should always remember this. Remember that we're going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be judged standing in front of Him, and this will help us have istiqamah upon the religion. On the other hand, if we're negligent of the last day, and we're forgetful about the fact that we're going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be judged, this is going to call us to follow our own desires. May Allah protect us from this. So we should always remember the last day, and that we're going to die and be judged. And the Prophet ﷺ has commanded us to do what? To visit the graves. To visit the graves. Because he said, they remind of the afterlife. They remind of the hereafter. So we should visit those graves as a remembrance for us, as a remembrance for ourselves, that soon we are going to be in one of them.
الفقرة الأخيرة في هذه الكلمة ما هو جزاء من استقام على شرع الله تبارك وتعالى قال الله تعالى إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون أي من آمن بقلبه ونطق بالإيمان بلسانه واستقام بجوارحه قال الله تعالى فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون لا يصيبه الغم ولا أمر في المستقبل وهو الخوف ولا يصيبه الغم على أمر قد فات وهو الحزن الخوف يعني من الشيء المكروه في المستقبل والحزن الهم والغم على مصيبة قد وقعت وفاتت فهذا المستقيم عند موته تبشره الملائكة بأنه لن يحزن على مفارقة أولاده وأهله ولن يصاب بمكروه لأنه سيقدم على ربه سبحانه وتعالى وهو راض عنه فمصيره إلى الجنة أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها يعني أبد الآباد بلا خروج جزاء بما كانوا يعملون بسبب إيمانهم وعملهم الصالح واستقامتهم إذا دخلوا الجنة فلهم فيها النعيم المقيم لهم فيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس كل ما تشتهيه أنفسهم يحققه الله عز وجل لهم كل ما يطلبونه يحققه الله عز وجل لهم يزيدهم الله على ما يطلبون أشتروه يوفر لهم ما يطلبونه يوفر لهم بل يعطون زيادة على ما طلبوا لهم فيها ما يشاءون ولدينا مزيد يزيدهم الله من عندهم وأعظم وأجل نعيمهم في الجنة أن الله يكشف الحجاب بينه وبينهم فيرونه سبحانه وتعالى وتلك أعظم لذة وأعظم نعيم يعطاها المستقيمون المؤمنون الصادقون إذا دخلوا الجنة فالاستقامة راحة في الدنيا وحياة طيبة في الدنيا وسعادة وانشراح صدر في الدنيا وعاقبة يوم القيامة عاقبة سعيدة عاقبة حميدة عاقبة مشتملة على الفوز الكبير نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستقيمين على شرعه وأن يجعلنا في الآخرة من أهل جنته هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد.
Last part of this evening's talk shall be the reward of those who fulfill this commandment of having istiqamah upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion. Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Verily, those who said that our Lord is Allah, then they had istiqamah, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They will have no fear, and they will have no sadness. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, that they will be therein forever, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, as a reward for that which they used to do. So those who have istiqamah, that they have uprightness with their hearts and their tongues and their limbs, they will have no fear. They will have no fear for those undesirable things which might happen to them in the future. They will also have no sadness because of those things which might have happened to them in the past. Fear. About something undesirable which might happen in the future. And this won't happen to those who have istiqamah. And sadness is dealing with that which has happened in the past. Regret over something undesirable which was happened in the past. This also will not afflict those who have istiqamah. The person who has istiqamah at the time of death, the angels will come to him. And they will give him the glad tidings that nothing undesirable will happen to him. And he is going to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will be pleased with him. And the ayah says, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, that those are the inhabitants of Jannah, paradise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they should be therein forever and ever. That they will never leave therefrom. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, as a reward for that which they used to do, as a reward for their righteous deeds. When they enter the paradise, they will have therein an everlasting bliss, an everlasting blessing, and they will have therein everything that their soul could possibly desire. Anything, absolutely anything that they ask for will be given to them. And in fact, Allah will give them something greater than that which they ask for. Everything that they desire will be at their command. Even something greater than they ever desired will be given to them. Allah says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, that they shall have whatever they desire therein, and we have something which is more. And the absolute greatest blessing, the absolute greatest pleasure in Jannah is that Allah shall remove the veil and that the believers shall see Him. This is the greatest, the absolute greatest pleasure in Paradise. And this will be given to those people who have istiqamah upon the religion of Allah. People who have istiqamah will be comfortable in this life. They will be given happiness in this life. They will be given, their chest will be open in this life. They won't have any worries in this life. Those people will have istiqamah. Likewise, in the afterlife, they will be given a pleasurable ending. And Allah will bless them with the greatest blessing that there can be, the greatest reward that has ever existed for those people who have istiqamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who have istiqamah upon His religion, and we end by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
شكر الله لشيخنا. We thank our beloved Sheikh Ali bin Yahya al-Haddadi for these beneficial words. The Sheikh tonight spoke about al-istiqamah, which is uprightness. He spoke about its meaning. He spoke about the causes of istiqamah and what are the things that assist an individual to be upright in his religion. And he closed by speaking about the reward for the individual that is upright in his religion. And once again, we thank our beloved Sheikh. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal أن يجعل هذا في ميزان حسناته يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. فشكر الله لك يا شيخ وكتب الله أجرك. إن شاء الله. For those that did not get anything to eat, there's going to be some food in the back. But before, نستأذن الشيخ في قراءة بعض الأسئلة. شيخنا, لقد تكلم بعض الناس في فضيلة شيخنا شيخ عبيد بن عبد الله بن سليمان الجابري, وقد حصل بسبب ذلك الكلام تفرق والاختلاف بين الشباب, فما توجيهكم حفظكم الله تعالى؟
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, ففضيلة الشيخ والدنا الشيخ عبيد الجابري حفظه الله من علماء السنة والجماعة ومن مشايخنا الذين نفع الله عز وجل بعلمهم وبجهودهم المباركة في أقطار الأرض. فنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن نمد في عمره ونبارك فيه وأن يجعلنا وإياه من أهل السنة والاتباع إلى يوم نلقاه. وعلماء السنة لهم علينا حق المحبة في الله والمودة والتقدير لجهودهم والدعاء لهم ظاهرا وباطنا وفقد أعراضهم من الطعن فيها, ولا يطعن في إعلام السنة وإمة السنة إلا مخذول والعياذ بالله ومنحرف عن سواء السبيل. فإن الوقيعة في علماء الأثر من علامات أهل البدع والأهواء الذين يطعنون في علماء السنة وفي أئمتها, لأن هؤلاء العلماء يبينون الحق ويردون الباطل, فلذا يبغضونهم ويكرهونهم ويتكلمون فيهم حتى ينفر الناس عنهم. فنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يهدي ضال المسلمين وأن يخلص المسلمين من شر كل ذي شر وعناد واستكبار عن الحق.
That some of the youth have begun speaking negatively about Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, and it has caused some division amongst the youth. So what is your advice towards us dealing with this issue? And our Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala said that Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, he is our father and he is our Sheikh, and his efforts of spreading the da'wah have reached far and wide. And so we must respect him. And we must honor him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a long life and to benefit the Muslims by his efforts. The scholars of the Sunnah, they have a right upon us that we love them and that we make dua for them, both openly and in secret. And we must guard their honor, we must guard their reputations and protect people from saying anything bad about them. And no one speaks bad about the scholars of the Sunnah except someone who is a deviant. And speaking bad about the people of knowledge, this is one of the signs of those who are innovators in the religion. Why? Because the scholars, it is the scholars who they clarify the truth to the people and they refute that which is falsehood. So when the people speak negatively about the scholars and they try to make people, they try to make the masses flee away from them, this is one of the signs of the deviance in the religion. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep their evil away from all of the Muslims and from all of the evil that they cause.
السائل يسأل ما نصيحتكم لمسلم يريد الدنيا وزينتها وكذلك يريد الآخرة حفظكم الله
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله فإن الواجب على المسلم أن يكون قصده وغاية همه الله عز وجل والدار الآخرة فإذا عمل يكون قصده من عمله وجه الله يريد ما عند الله سبحانه وتعالى فهذا هو أساس دين الإسلام الإخلاص فاعبد الله مخلصا له الدين وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين فلا بد من الإخلاص لله عز وجل ونريد المرء بعمله وجه الله فإذا عمل العمل الصالح وهو يريد الدنيا وزينتها فليس له إلا ما نوى والعياذ بالله على المسلم أن يجاهد نفسه على أن يكون عمله خالص لوجه الله يحذر من الرياء يحذر من تزيين عمله لما يرى من نظر الناس إليه وليعلم أن هذه الدنيا مهما بلغت فإنها فانية زائلة حقيرة لا تساوي عند الله شيئا وأما النعيم الباقي فهو الجنة وما أعد الله فيها لأوليائه يستعيذ بالله من نزغات الشيطان يستعيذ بالله من شر نفسه الأمارة بالسوء يذكر نفسه بآيات القرآن الكريم الغامرة بالإخلاص والمحذرة من الرياء والمحذرة من النفاق ومن صفات أهل النفاق فهذا يعينه إن شاء الله على مجاهدة نفسه وعلى إصلاح نيته هناك أعمال صالحة ورد فيها نص بأنه يترتب على فعلها بعض المصالح الدنيوية فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا وينزدكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهار وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في سورة الرحم من أحب أن ينسى له في أثره ويبارك له في رزقه فليصل رحمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فمثل هذه الأعمال الصالحة التي جاء فيها نص بأن يترتب عليها شيء من الخير العاجل لا حرج إذا عملها المسلم وفعلها وهو يريد أصلا الثواب والأجر من الله ثم أيضا ينوي نية تابعة أن ينال شيئا من هذا الذي جاء به الوعد في كتاب الله أو في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالمقصود أن على المسلم أن يخلص نيته لله وأن يحرص أن يكون عمله موافقا لشرع الله، وإذا فعل ذلك كان إن شاء الله من الصالحين المهتدين.
Is what is your advice towards those Muslims who want the beautiful things in this life, and they also want Jannah, they also want what's in the afterlife for the believers? Allah Ta'ala said that it is wajib, it's mandatory upon the Muslim to do all of his actions intending to please Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and seeking what is pleasing to him in the afterlife. It's something that Allah has commanded us with in several parts of the Quran. For example, Allah has said, فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ الْمُبْدِينَ. Worship Allah with sincerity to Him in the religion. He says in another ayah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ الْمُبْدِينَ. And they were commanded to do nothing except to worship Him with sincerity to Him in the religion. So every person should want by his actions to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the servant should avoid doing those things which are purely for the sake of this life, because whoever does so, they will only have what they intended, as the well known hadith of the intention says. Whoever does something for this life, they will only have what they intended. So a person must strive against their self, strive against their own soul, to make their actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His pleasure. And everyone should know that this life, this dunya, no matter how much of it that you get, it's nothing. This life is despicable. This life is filthy, it's nothing. And it doesn't equal anything of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the afterlife. So every servant should seek refuge with Allah from those whisperings of the shaitan, and he should seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in his own self, against doing things only for this worldly life. And he should remind himself against doing those things which are not for the pleasure of Allah, such as doing things out of show, doing things so that other people see one's actions. And a person should remind himself of about hypocrisy, not doing things out of hypocrisy. And a person should strive against himself to have a correct and righteous intention. There are some actions which are related in the Sunnah, some righteous actions which state that a person may do something. Excuse me, those things are related in the Quran and the Sunnah. It says that a person might do something for the sake of Allah, and as a result, they will also get some benefits in this worldly life. For example, Allah commands us to seek His forgiveness. And it says that whoever seeks His forgiveness, that He will provide them, He will send down upon them rainfall, and He will give them goods, and He will give them children. So, because of their seeking His forgiveness, they will be given some of these worldly things, such as sustenance, such as children. Also, when it comes to keeping family ties, the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام said that whoever would love to have a long life, and whoever would love for his wealth to increase, let him keep his family ties. So these are some examples of doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, that have a worldly benefit. And there's no problem with doing these things, with the condition that the person does these things first and foremost for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they make a second intention that these things are also for the worldly good, but they're first and foremost to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim, the summary of what we want to say is that the Muslim should always strive to make his actions sincerely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever has done this will be of the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
نصيحتكم لمن ابتلي بفعل اسلمنا وكذلك النظر إلى صور المحرمة من حين إلى آخر وإذا حصل له ذلك تاب إلى الله وندم ولكنه بعد أيام يعود إلى فعله السابق فما توجيهكم حفظكم الله تعالى.
نصيحة بتقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى، أن لازم العبد تقوى الله تبارك وتعالى في ليله ونهاره وفي سره وجهاره، أن يراقب الله تعالى في كل أحواله، أن يبتعد عن المثيرات التي تثيره، فينحرف إلى مثل هذه الأفعال المحرمة شرعا. إذا كان البلاء بسبب إطلاقه البصر فليغض بصره، وإذا كان بسبب أنه يخالط ناس يحثونه ويزينون له هذه المعصية فليبتعد عنهم وليجتنبهم. إذا كان عزبا فليبادر إلى الزواج حتى يقضي شهوته بالحلال. وهذه وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للشباب: يا معشر الشباب، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحصن للفرج، ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. فمن لم يستطع الزواج النكاح فليجتهد في الاستكثار من نوافل الصوم، فإنه يوقظ القلب بقوة الإيمان ويضعف داعي الشهوة، فيه عون على طاعة الله واجتهاد معصيته، يعود المسلم على الصبر وعلى التحكم في نفسه، ففيه خير كثير. وكون هذا الشخص كل ما وقع في هذه المعصية ندم وتاب إلى الله، هذا شيء طيب أن يتوب المسلم وأن يبادر إلى الندم وإلى الإقلاع وإلى العزم على عدم العودة إلى المعصية مرة ثانية. فإن ضعفت نفسه بعد ذلك ووقع بالمعصية فليتب إلى الله مرة ثانية. وقع مرة ثالثة ورابعة لا يقنطه الشيطان من التوبة ويقول: أنت عبد كاذب، أنت عبد غير صادق. لا، كل ما وقع في معصية فعليه أن يتب، ولا يفتح للشيطان مجال لأن يقنطه ويدخل في قلبه اليأس فيتمادى في المعاصي ويتمادى دون أن يتوب حتى يلقى الله عز وجل. فإذا كل عاصٍ وكلنا خطاء أن يبادر إلى التوبة الصادقة، فيقلع عن المعصية، يندم عليها، يعزم على ألا يعود إليها. لكن إن وقع وعاد إليها فعليه أن يجدد التوبة مرة ثانية. فالمقصود أنها نصيحة لهذا الشخص بالتوبة إلى الله بالتوبة الصادقة وبالبعد عن الأسباب التي توقعه مرة بعد مرة في هذه المعاصي، أن يشغل نفسه بطاعة الله وبكل عمل ينفعه في دينه أو دنياه، وأن يستكثر من نوافل الطاعات من قراءة القرآن والاستغفار والصيام ونوافل الصلاة فهذه الأشياء إن شاء الله مما تباعد العبد عن الفواحش إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر فيقبل على صلاته بقلب حاضر يستكثر من نوافل الصلاة قيام الليل سنن الرواتب صلاة الضحى وغير ذلك هذه كلها إن شاء الله من الأسباب المعينة على اجتناب معصية الله
What is your advice towards someone who has been tested with the sin of masturbation and looking at prohibited pictures? Then after doing so, this person repents and is regretful over doing this thing, so they repent and stop doing it, then they fall back into the sin. So they keep committing the sin and repenting from the sin and committing the sin again. Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala says that my advice to them is that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They constantly have taqwa, they constantly have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both in secret and in open. And that they should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly watching over them in everything that they do, every action that they have. And I advise them to leave alone those things and to distance themselves from those things which caused them from falling into sins like these. Everything which causes the servant to fall into a sin, they should distance themselves from that thing. If this person is doing these things because they're looking at pictures or things which are prohibited, they should stop looking at these things. And if it's that this person has bad friends and bad company who are inciting him to do these prohibited things, then he should leave alone these bad friends, these bad companions. And he should follow the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the unmarried person. If this person happens to be unmarried and this is the reason why he's falling into these sins, he should practice the sunnah which the Prophet ﷺ has prescribed for the unmarried person, which is to get married. To take all the necessary steps to get married as soon as possible. And then if that's not possible, then to do what? To fast. To fast. Because this fasting, some of the benefits of it is that it helps the servant lower their gaze. And that it helps them guard their chastity in their private parts. So I advise this person, Shaykh Abdullah says that I advise this person to constantly perform some of the sunnah fasting, okay, outside of Ramadan, doing some extra fasting, and this will help strengthen the heart of this servant. And it will help him to lessen the effect of his desires. He should seek assistance in this fasting by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fasting, this will be an assistance. This will help him to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will help him to have more control, to have more self-control over him. And it will lead to many great things. The fact that this person, after committing these sins, regretted them and repented, this is a very good thing. Anytime a person commits a sin and repents, this is a good thing. And this person should have a strong desire to not return to committing this sin again. If the person happened to repent from it, and then he became weak and fell into the sin, he should repent a third time. And if he committed a fourth, he should repent a fourth time, and so on and so forth. And he should never let the shaitan try to convince him that he's a bad slave, that he's a bad servant, and he's just going to keep doing these sins no matter what. No, he should never let shaitan overcome him and tell him to just, oh, forget about repentance, just keep doing the sin. No, he should repent. If he falls into it and gets weak, repent again and again and again. He should never let the shaitan tell him that the door for repentance is closed. The time that this person commits the sin again, he should renew his repentance. And this should be a truthful and sincere repentance. And he should make himself far away from those things which are going to make him fall into sin.
and he should busy himself with that which is beneficial for him in this life and in the afterlife. And he should read the Quran a lot. He should make salah, the extra salah at night, a lot. He should make a lot of extra fasting. Because doing these things, especially the salah, doing the salah is going to prohibit from doing things which are fahsha and munkar, those things which are illicit and open sins. All these evil and filthy sins, the salah helps one, as the Quran tells us. The salah tells us in the Quran that in the salah tanha an fahsha wal munkar. The salah prohibits one from committing these open sins. So I advise this person to busy himself with extra acts of worship by making prayers at night, by making salat at duha in the morning. And these things will help him not fall into such sins.
يا شيخنا حبيبك الله هل يمكنكم ذكر شيء من سيرة الشيخ أحمد بن يحيى النجمي حبيب رحمه الله تعالى حيث نعرف أنكم كنتم من أخص تلاميذه.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. لست من أخص تلاميذه ولكن تشرفت بالقراءة عليه والجلوس إليه في زياراتي في كل صيف إلى منطقة جيزان، وحصل يعني درست عليه في بعض الدروس العامة وبعض القراءات الخاصة في بعض المتون العلمية، والذي يعني يحضرني ذكره الآن من صفات هذا العالم الجليل رحمه الله أنه كان مكبا على العلم، عامرا وقته به تعلما وتعليما وتعريفا وتدريس وإفتاء واستقبال السائلين في مسجده وفي بيته، وكان صبره وجلده في هذا الباب أمرا عظيما رحمه الله. من الصفات التي امتاز بها شيخنا رحمه الله أنه كان عظيم الحرص على الدعوة السلفية، عظيم الغيرة عليها، محبا لأهلها، ودروسه المسجلة ومؤلفاته تشهد له بهذا رحمه الله. صفاته أيضا محبته لطلبة العلم الذين كانوا يأتون إليه من كل مكان رغبة في تلقي علم العقيدة وعلم الحديث وغيرهما من العلوم التي كان يدرسها الشيخ رحمه الله، فكان محبا لهم باذلا نفسه في حتى خدمته رحمه الله بنفسه، فيدخل داخل البيت ويأتي أحيانا بالشاي بالقهوة، يأتي بصحن فيه مثلا إفطار لبعض الطلاب الذين يكون عنده في وقت الضحى، هو بنفسه يباشر هذا العمل، وربما يأتيه طالب فيبقى عنده ثم مثلا يمرض فيأخذ بنفسه إلى المستشفى إلى الطوارئ إلى الإسعاف ويسهر معه، مع أنه ليس بينه وبينه قرابة ولا صلة، اللهم إلى المحبة في الله عز وجل، وحرص من هذا الشيخ على طلابه وتلاميذه. ذلك أيضا من صفاته رحمه الله الكرم مع قلة ذات اليد، كان بيته معمور بالطلاب بالضيوف بالسائلين، ويقدم لهم ويشق على نفسه من ناحية مادية، لكن في باب أو في سبيل إكرام الضيف لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. وقد مرت مواقف رئيس يذهب بنفسه يكون عنده بعض الضيوف من طلاب العلم اثنين ثلاثة فيخرج من بيته يذهب إلى السوق ويسكن في قرية تم النجامي يذهب إلى السوق في صامدة ويشتري ما يتعلق بأمر مثل الغداء أو أمر العشاء بنفسه رحمه الله. أنا أيضا من الأمور التي اتصف بها الزهد في الدنيا والتقلل منها كما كان يلتفت إليها ولا يأذى بها ولا يحرص عليها إنما كان طالعا بما رزقه الله عز وجل مقبلا على أمر العلم كما قلت تعلما وتعليما باقي نفسه في ذلك. وأما هذه الدنيا وزهرتها وضهرجها فلم تكن ذات قيمة عنده رحمه الله. ومن المواقف التي رأيتها وراها كثير أنه في إحدى الدورات دورات الشيخ عبد الله القرعاوي التي تقام في صامدة حضر فيها مسؤول كبير جدا كان الشيخ أحمد يصلي وهذا المسؤول الكبير واقف ينتظر أن الشيخ يفرغ من صلاته. هذا المسؤول وأظن الشيخ أحمد ذلك اليوم عن حضر إلى المسجد متأخر بعد ما انتهت الجماعة أتى من قريته إلى صامدة فبينما المسؤول عن تفرغ من صلاة على صلاة المغرب وأراد أن يخرج وإذا بالشيخ أحمد يصلي فوقف يعني ما رجع إلى مكانه مثلا أو خرج إلى السيارة انتظر هذا المسؤول الكبير واقف على قدميه والشيخ أحمد يؤدي صلاته فأدى صلاة كاملة مطمئنة ما يعني اختصر فيها أو خفف منها أبدا صلاة على الصورة التي صليها عليها رحمه الله. فما قال إن هذا الله المسؤول الكبير ومعه يعني الشرطة والعسكر وكذا فأن يختصر الصلاة أبدا صلى صلاة كاملة تامة مطمئنا فيها ولا كان أحد ينتظر. فلما فرغ من صلاته قام إلى هذا المسؤول وسلم عليه وعانقه وسلم هذا المسؤول على رأس الشيخ رحمه الله وما زاد هذا العمل الشيخ عند ذلك المسؤول إلا توقير وتقدير. كانت من صفاته أيضا المعروفة المشهورة صدره بالحق لا يجامل لا يداري لا يجامل لا يداهن رحمه الله. المداهنة مذمومة شرعا المداراة جائزة فكان الشيخ لا يداهن في دينه. كنا مرة أيضا في اجتماع كبير وقام أحد الناس وألقى كلمة في محفل كبير جدا فيه طلبة علم وفيه بعض المسؤولين وفيه أيضا عوام وغيرهم. فهذا الشخص في أثناء كلمته قرر مسألة باطلة تتعلق بالمنهج. وكان الشيخ أحمد رحمه الله يجلس في الصف الأول قريب من المنصة فأنكر بصوت عال حتى يريد يسمع هذا المسؤول فأنكر عليه ورد عليه بالحجة والبرهان رحمه الله. فلم يقل والله أنه هذا الشخص فلان الفلاني أو مدير الجهة الفلانية أو كان أبدا أو أنه يراعيه من أجل الحضور والكاميرات المتصور ولا أبدا لم يلتفت لهذا مسألة يخشى أن الناس يتفرقون وقد علق في أذهانهم ذلك التقرير الباطل فيحصل بسبب ذلك شر وتلبيس فبادر رحمه الله إلى الإنكار لأنه لو سكت لتفرق جمع كبير وهم يحملون تلك المعلومة السيئة وسيقول الناس لو كان هذا الشخص قال غلط وخطأ لأنكر عليه الشيخ أحمد ما سكت فالمهم أن الشيخ رحمه الله كان قوالا بالحق لا تأخذوا في سبيل ذلك لومة لائم رحمه الله من صفاته حرصه على الصلاة كان من أشد الناس حرصا ومحافظة على الصلاة رحمه الله ومن الأمثلة التي توضح لك هذا الحرص أنه في مرض موته رحمه الله لما كان هنا في الرياض منوم في المستشفى فكان إذا أعطي البنج إجراء عملية أو تخفيف آلام ثم يفيق أول ما يفيق من البنج مباشرة يسأل عن الصلاة يطلب تراب يتيمم عليه فيرى بعضكم ربما رأى أو سمع كانت يعني تقيد يديه على السرير حتى لا يحركها فيضر نفسه فأول ما يفيق يبدأ يحرك يديه يريد أن يكبر ويدخل في صلاته رحمه الله هذه بعض المواقف وبعض الصفات التي يخبرني ذكرها عن هذا الإمام الجليل والعالم النبيل عليه من ربه الرحمة
أنا نسيت أنك تترجم أقول نسيت أنك تترجم استعجلت
We understand that you were one of the closest students of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, so can you please mention something about his biography and his life? The Sheikh Habibullah said that he started saying, Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. He said, first and foremost, I was not one of his closest students. And he just reiterated that, that you must mention that I was not one of his closest students. Don't forget. He said, but I did have the pleasure and the honor of attending some of his classes and visiting him during some of the summer summer workshops that used to take place in the southern part of Saudi Arabia and in the area called Jazan. And I did have the pleasure of attending some of the general classes that he gave and also of having some private sittings with him and reading some short books upon him and learning from him. And some of the traits about this scholar that I can mention, about this noble scholar, are that he was totally given to knowledge, that he had a total devotion, and he was totally devoted to seeking knowledge, both learning and teaching and answering questions and authoring books and inviting people to entertain questions while he was at the masjid or in his home. This is something that was part of his life, and he had a great patience upon doing this. It takes a lot of patience to do this. And he had a really great patience of sticking with this. One of the things that he stuck out for, that he was especially known for, is that he had a love and he had an eagerness for da'wah al-Salafiyyah, the Salafi da'wah, and that he had a great zeal for protecting it. And some of the things that bear witness to this are his books and his classes, which are recorded. You can listen to this and you'll see this for yourself. Another trait that I can say about the scholar, the Shaykh Habibullah said, is that he had a great love for the students of knowledge. And people used to come from him from far and wide, and he would entertain them, and he really had a great love for them.
And they came to him to seek the knowledge of Aqidah and to seek the knowledge of Hadith. And he used to give them everything that he had. He would really go out of his way to serve them with everything that he had. He would entertain them in his homes, and sometimes even you know, the fact that he was an elderly man and a great scholar, he would be the one to go get the tea and pour it for them. And this shows part of his humbleness. His students that used to stay with him, for example, some of them might get sick at the late hours of the night, and he himself would take them to the hospital and stay up at all hours of the night with his students. In fact, that there was no relationship between them. There was no family relationship. And the only relationship that was between him and them was the love for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had a great zeal for his students. Another one of the traits of this noble scholar is that he was very generous, in spite of the fact that he didn't have a whole lot. His house many times was full with people asking questions and who had come to learn. And it was hard for him to serve them and be generous for them and give them food and drink because he didn't have a lot of money. But he went out of his way and really made an extra effort to do that, to be generous for them because he considered them his guests and his students. And this was part of his implementation of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him be generous to his guest. And the Shaykh Ali hafizullah says that one of the incidents that I personally saw by myself is that, you know, he didn't have enough food in his house to serve his guests, so he personally went by himself to the village and to the market in Salamita. He went, you know, far away from his home to buy food for the guests and in order to prepare them dinner. Another one of the traits of this great scholar is that he was very zahid. He had abstinence from worldly things. Okay, he didn't care much about the money and the worldly things. So he didn't used to pay much attention to these things at all. And he was very pleased, and he was very satisfied with what Allah had given him. So the little that he had, this was enough for him. The dunya, this worldly life, was something that didn't hold any price for him. It was like it was worthless to him. Another of the incidents that our Shaykh Hafidullah says that he personally witnessed was that during one of the summer workshops there in Salamita, which is he's saying that they had a summer class that used to be a month long. Then it was a three week long class there in Salamita, and it was named after the scholar Abdullah al-Qara'awi. And he said that one of the people who came to attend this seminar, this workshop, he was a very big person. He was a big big person. Big personality, okay? So he had guards and he had police around him. And the Sheikh had to come to the seminar from a faraway village. He didn't live right there, so he had to come far away, and that particular day he didn't make it in time for the salat. So this person, this big personality, was waiting for him, okay? And he was standing in the masjid, not like he was sitting around waiting. He had a lot of time. He needed to go, and he was standing waiting for the Sheikh. And in spite of that, the Sheikh, rahimahullah, he came into the masjid and ignored the person, and he started making his salat. And he didn't make the salat, you know, in a fast way, like we might do, as if he was in a rush, or as if most people might do if they knew that one of these big people, one of these big personalities, was waiting for them. It was as if this person wasn't even there. He prayed, he made the salat very tranquil, very slow, very calm, as if no one was waiting for him at all. And you would imagine that this might make such a big personality upset. However, once he finished, and this was Salat al-Maghrib, Once he finished performing his prayer, he stood up and then approached the person, this big person, and the person, in spite of the fact that he did this thing which might have been considered rude, the fact that he did this for the sake of Allah, and he did this salah as if the person was not even waiting for him, didn't increase this man except in his respect for the shaykh. So when he went to greet him, when this person went to greet him, he went up and he kissed him on the head, and he was very happy to meet him. And then he asked them, and they talked about what they needed to talk about, in spite of the fact that his guards and the police were waiting for this person. Another one of the traits of this great scholar is that he wasn't scared to stand up and say the truth. And he didn't used to sugarcoat anything. And he didn't used to make mujamala. Mujamala is kind of like a way of telling someone what they want to hear. And he didn't used to do this. Okay, if it was the truth, he would say it no matter how bad it sounded. And one of the incidences that the Shaykh himself, Hafidhullah, said that he witnessed was that during one of the gatherings, there was a big gathering of people, and someone came to make a small speech. And during the speech, the person mentioned an issue which was in contradiction to the proper minhaj. And the Shaykh, he was sitting in the front row, rahimahullah, and in spite of the fact that there were cameras recording, and it was kind of an embarrassing situation, he spoke up very loud so that everyone heard, and he refuted this person, and he brought the proofs and the evidences to refute that this person had made a mistake. And he said that the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he didn't used to fear people. When it came to issues of truth and falsehood. And had he kept quiet in this incident, he knew that all of these people would have left taking in this false information, and that they would have left thinking this was true, and thinking that, okay, the Shaykh didn't say anything about it, he was in the front row, so this must be right. So he felt that it was an obligation to correct this thing so that all the people didn't leave having some misinformation, having some something that was not true in their hearts. Another one of the traits of this great scholar is that he was very eager about performing his prayers, his salah. And one of the proofs of this is that when he was on his deathbed here in Riyadh, in the hospital, that whenever he was, you know, given the pills to knock him out, the anesthesia or whatever, the first thing that he would do when he woke up, he would say, "I want to make salah." And he said that perhaps, you know, maybe even some of you know that when he was on his deathbed, they chained his hands because of his condition so that he couldn't move and hurt himself. And as soon as he would gain consciousness, he would start moving his hands, asking, he wanted to make wudu, he wanted to pray. And this is one of the things that testify to his great love of the prayer.
We're going to stop on that. There are some more questions. But like we mentioned, the fact that Sheikh Ali teaches tomorrow, what we'll do is we'll take the questions with us to his masjid and we'll get them answered by Allah Ta'ala. And we can communicate through email. So I'll provide the answers for the brothers. Once again, we thank Nashkur for the Shaykhina. He thanked you and he said, "I'm sorry for elongating the lecture, but alhamdulillah, we benefited." صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.